Okay, nothing heard. Good evening, everyone. This is N2NLP. The name is Charles from Staten Island in New York City. And I'd like to welcome you to the weekly shortwave and scanner listeners net. That's heard on the N2ROW linked repeater system every Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. local time. The purpose of this net is to provide a general discussion forum for those who are interested in tuning in the signals that are outside of the average radio bands, whether they be voice, data, video, etc. These frequencies that you can tune in with various pieces of equipment and covers the frequency range from DC through light, everything that includes different broadcasting bands, different utility and public service bands, and even microwave and satellite dishes. We have some basic information about the repeaters before we start. All of the repeaters that are on this linked repeater system can be found at www.n2row.net. Please go to that website and pick the repeater system that is closest to where you are. This way you have a better chance of getting a nice clean signal into the system. However, two of the frequencies are reserved or specially set up for handheld radios, and those are 441.100 and 145.230. That's because there are remote receivers scattered throughout the New York City area. If you're using a base station with some power to it, please use one of the other frequencies and reserve these other two frequencies for the handheld radios. When you're checking inside, one, remember, because it is a linked system, when you key up, please pause for a second or two before you begin to speak. This way, the beginning part of your transmission does not get cut off. When you're checking in, please give your call sign, name, and location, and please indicate if you have any traffic for the net. And by traffic, we're talking about any comments or questions that you'd like to share with everyone else. This is the lifeblood of the net. Each week is the traffic that we each bring to it. If you don't have any traffic, or you're a little shy about giving traffic, you can check in by saying the word no traffic after your call sign, and then we'll move on to the next person. If you're not able to get into the repeaters for whatever reason, whether it be a technical difficulty or you may not have your amateur radio license yet, you can please participate. You can also participate by please going to our website email address, which is nydxa@yahoo.com. And that address will be checked periodically throughout the net so that we can take the comments and questions from there and put it out over the air. So at this point, we'll stand by for the check-in. Please space it out. This way we get everybody checked in without stepping on each other. This is N2NLP. WHUSQQ, Bob and Elmwood Park.
No traffic at the moment, and just checked email and nothing pending there.
GFW, Gordon in Manhattan. As always, I'm out walking the dog, and I will be monitoring.
This is?
And 1MLZ,
Bob in Milford, Connecticut, with a question. Good evening.
Okay, good evening. It's WHUSQ, K2GLW, and 1N1MLZ. Anybody else? Okay, yes, everybody's watching the U.S. Open tennis matches on TV. Alright, we'll go with what we have, take up any additional later on this last week of the summer before Labor Day. W2SQQ and 2NLB. How things are going, Bob?
I'm good, Charlie. Busy, but good. Just doing some listening here. Locally, they had a Fairlawn had an incident tonight where cops took a few shots at somebody. But that's about it. And while I think of it, I will be in Texas next week on the Mexican border, so I won't be on the net in case I forget to send you an email. Otherwise, that's about it. Just sitting here listening to some of the NOAA stations trying to get a feel if this storm coming up the coast is going to give us any good propagation. And 210V, WA2SQQ.
Well, one, I hope you don't run into any of those drug dealer nasties on the Mexican border that's causing quite a ruckus over in Arizona. Second, yeah, that is one way of looking at the oncoming hurricane, is to see how well it can give us something positive instead of people running around like chickens with their heads cut off, screaming that the sky is going to fall on them. It would be interesting to see what kind of propagation we get. Okay, we'll let you check the email. Again, anybody not able to get in, please use the email address. NYDXA@yahoo.com. Please no Nigerian spam mail or anything like that. And we'll move on. N1MLZ and 210B.
They also have
have other capabilities on various bands. And we'll just leave it at that for now. And if I hear anything, I'll certainly bring it forward and let you know.
Yeah, okay, very good, Charlie. In fact, that was one of the ones I enjoyed listening to. I was always left it in the radio, and it's one of those ones where, you know, you don't hear something on it every day, but at least, you know, a couple of times on the weekend you hear something on there, so it's kind of cool to hear, Harbor Charlie, you know, stuff like that on the Marine Channel, so. All right, very good, Charlie. I guess that's all I have for now. I'm sure I'll think of something else.
NQNOV, K2GLW.
Hi, Gordon. What's up?
Yeah, I never know. Well, I'm off. Jaws, how would you copy me? Are you reading me now?
Yep. Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, I had raised the issue in an email to you, which then became a hot topic of discussion. My experience trying to get ham radio and HT through the airport security at SeaTac in Seattle, and I'm just wondering if there's a lesson for anyone trying to carry scanner equipment. At least I've got a federal license and presumably a legitimate reason for carrying it. You know anything about the risks and rewards of trying to get scanners through airport security?
I can only go by my own experience, Gordon, and with the different trips I've taken for business over the past few years especially. I always carry a handheld scanner, always carry my amateur HT, always carry a portable shortwave radio with me, and have not been stopped, have not been questioned, except for somebody curious about my very long main antennas for the HT that showed up a little funny looking on the x-rays, I guess. But other than that, I don't know what to tell you, except, you know, I put all my radios together in a carry-on bag, you know, a camera bag, and, you know, pass that through. If they have a question, I open it, they look at it. I think I only had to turn on the radio once. And that was about 10 years ago, before 9/11.
Somebody sent me an email, and it looked like it was an excerpt from some sort of a guide. I don't know who it came from. And it sort of discussed why I was treated the way I was. The questions that TSA can be expected to ask and the answers that one would give to cause the least trouble. They asked me, when they asked me what the radio was for, I said I was a licensed ham and I had a federal license and began reaching for the license, and apparently said, no, they don't want to see the license, they don't want to see it move towards your hand, nor will they understand what the license is about anyway. And it basically was a guide to what TSA is going to ask and how to answer their questions in a way that is not going to provoke them.
Yeah, I saw a copy of that, and that is official from TSA.
Well, that makes us well ought to be posted on our website, because as it turns out, I answered every question wrong.
I had heard rumor about that document before it was sent out this week, and I got the same time that you did. So, what Gordon is referring to, whoever's on the frequency, besides the two Bobs, is a document from TSA, if I could bring it up here. It's a training document, especially for those who are at the border point. Somebody is traveling with electronic devices, and this would include, especially what they're aiming for, things like laptop computers, but other electronic devices are included as well. The document's not very long. I don't know what kind of reaction we'd get if we posted that to the website, Gordon, but at least everybody and the Dear City Arabs group has a copy of it now. I guess I could sort of float it into the NYGXA list as well.
Still copying me?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, well, I wish I'd seen this before, because I guess by answering all the questions wrong, could have still been stuck in Seattle. I mean, I know that Seattle is considered a sensitive place. Cruise ships come in there. It's one of the major West Coast ports. It is a huge naval facility. It is close enough to the Canadian border, and if you recall, one of the attempts to smuggle weapons into the United States was at Port Angeles, which is just across Puget Sound, really, from Seattle. So I guess they're a little bit hyper over there. All right, I'm going to disappear down 96 feet and probably go out of range. So thank you much for the answer, and I will be listening until I get the doggy in.
Okay, very good. And here it is on the bottom of page one. This assessment and recommendation addresses CBP's implementation of training related to the CBP directive for purposes of searches at the border. The term electronic device encompasses any device that may contain information, such as laptop computers, disks, drives, tapes, mobile phones, and other communication devices, cameras, music, and other media players. I would hope that my next trip through a border is when I'm on my way out and not coming back, if they're going to keep this up. Let's see what happens over the next few years. All right. Very good, Gordon. Let's see. It's 20 after 9. Stand by for any additional check-ins or comments. And then we'll check the email. This is N2, and I'll be with the shortwave and scanner listeners, Pat.
KC2NGU.
Email is Quinn. Nothing there. WA2SDQ.
NOV.
I'm curious about something. My friend, my neighbor slash friend was in the hospital for my, like the last, he was admitted Saturday, and long story short, they say if you want the phone and the TV on, the TV is $6 a day and the phone is 6 hours a day. I looked in back of the TV, and the connections, there's no connections on the back. It just says they use like 15 volts and all. But how do they work, those hospital TVs? Like, there was just a piece of IG-59 going from the TV to the wall. But how do they work? They have like a modulating system, and they have their own channels, or what? Casey, join you.
Each side is completely different. It matters how they set it up originally. Some of them is just, connection to cable. Some of them have their own system that they built. They can choose different channels, put modulators on them, combine them, and then send them throughout the system. Some are computer controlled, but they can turn them on and off remotely. Some aren't. It depends.
Okay, and I also try to do with a modulator project on two RF modulators identical, one on channel 3 and one on channel 4, but the signals overlap each other. I'm assuming if I want to add more inputs to an old TV by selecting with the remote controller, because I try to mix 3 and 4, I have to like put filters and everything and adjust the video and all that, so just out of curiosity, Casey 2 and you.
That's probably your run with having too much power. It is going to spread out and affect the next channel over. The commercial systems, like your cable TV system, when they're analog, those are modulators of very tight tolerances. They only use so much power, and not too much. They have commercial grade signal combiners, which will have each frequency that they're tuned to be very tight tolerance. If you try to do this at home, you're going to spend a lot of money, or you're going to have to spread the frequencies further apart than that.
A copy. It's just an idea that I wanted to do for an old 20-inch TV I have, and that's all. I just wanted to add an extra input. Remote control selectable, if you know what I mean. And I wanted to do the two modulators. But I guess I gotta do more research. I'm gonna try to change the crystal in there so I could be at another channel over. Thanks for joining you.
No, if it's just a single input, you can have a switch box. This way just chooses which input you want. They're fairly cheap. You can get them anywhere.
Okay, thanks for the info, Charlie. KC2 and you, back to net.
Okay, Ralph. Switch box is a very simple view to set up. I've got 5 different devices all outputting in channel 3. And I just use the switch box to switch which one I want. Okay, let's see. Earlier this evening, I received some information which became very useful in deciphering some of the things that were going on with the U.S. Open, the tennis matches that are going on in Forest Hills. And on Radio Reference, I posted a message right before dinner where I gave some basic information about the tennis match, and we could find more information with links to various documents as far as the layout and scheduling and where all the different matches are being held. It turns out they've got like 2 dozen courts over there. The reason why I did that specifically is that over the past couple of days I have been hearing on the fire department special events talk groups on the DO-UHF system mentions of things like Arthur Ashe and Louis Armstrong. So I verified those names of two of the venues at the site out there in Forest Hills. Well, it turns out that the fire department EMS has had multiple EMT teams scattered throughout the complex, and they all keep in touch with each other on the UHF trunk system. And throughout the day today, there have been various calls for people like sprained ankles, dehydration, passing out, tripping down the stairs, that kind of thing. So in the message that I posted, not only did I put up information about what's going on
at the venue itself as far as the event is concerned. Schedule of the matches, where they're being held, which TV channels are covering it, including the TV schedule, so you can see which broadcaster has which matches at what time during the two-week event. But somebody also sent me a listing of frequencies that are used by aircraft in support of broadcasting events, whether it be fixed-wing planes or helicopters. I think it's called the Motion Pictures Pilot Association. It's a list of 14 frequencies. And some of the channels are quite interesting, and the frequencies that they chose are stuck right in the middle of the public service channels up at 485 megs. Some are down to the 467, and there's one in the 450. 450.675, which is right in the middle of the broadcasting. Broadcasting support frequencies between 450 and 451 and 456, 455 to 456, and one of the frequencies of this list for the helicopters is right in the middle of that. Now, as far as police involvement is concerned, I would think that any officers on site would be using one of the TAC frequencies. But very well, they could be using a patrol borough point north. So anybody who lives in that area should keep their ears open on those particular channels, especially the TAC frequencies, and see what they can hear. Now, what you would think, a TAC frequency is normally designed for low-power, short-range communications. I've actually heard vehicles on attack frequency going downtown Manhattan and heard the signal all the way here on Staten Island, as well as handheld units 2 miles away when they were doing drug surveillance operations. So the attack frequencies actually could go a little bit further than you would think they would, which is why I always have them unlocked and constantly scanned along with everyone else in the radio that I want to listen to, because you never know what will pop up on attack frequency. So don't discount them. Also, last week we had indicated that there were some frequencies of the fire department EMS up in the UHF band, the new frequencies, which were having their PL tones changed because the passband issues for narrow FM, which NUPQQ mentioned in the magazine article a few weeks ago. He had let us know about this magazine article that was talking about it. And first the fire department dispatch channels were switching over, and then the EMS channels. And there were still three channels that we hadn't found out what the new PL tone was. Well, all that happened yesterday. So all of the frequencies that had their PL tones changed on the new allocation have been updated both at Radio Reference and on my N2NOB.net website. So if you haven't updated the PL tones of your radio, time to do it, otherwise you're going to miss whatever is being broadcast. Somebody trying to check in?
N2BQ.
Alright, N2BQ2. Little weak on the signal, Greg. Go ahead.
As usual.
channel, but Bruce North Fellow channel on the TV system. That doesn't exist anymore. It's been consolidated to one borough-wide channel for each physical borough, not each patrol borough. So it would be the TVQ channel for Queens, for the city field and the surrounding cities.
Okay, well, Coach, how long I've been at this? I even have changed my website for the past couple of years. Okay, Patrol Borough Queens, 470.9375. Okay. I'm on my way to Queens North.
I just wanted to fill that information out there. Somebody starts sticking around for North now. There seems to be one, no more. They had to reallocate those channels for other purposes. Technically, it's set for the transition from VHF to UHF on the transit only, but that's all muddled and stuck in the water, stuck in the mud now. So, just wanted to let you know, back to that 10QVQ. By the way, Greg from Long Island City was open.
Okay. All right, very good. And some people I just keep losing touch with as time goes by. All right, let's see. Time now is 9:36. Let's see if there's any other my check-ins or comments before we start wrapping it up. This is a total thing.
KC2CDC, here in Manhattan.
Into DET, Delta Echo Tango, Lone Bob in Long Beach, New York. No, no info.
Okay, KC2CDC, can you repeat? The other station was at November 2, Delta Echo Tango. Continue with your transmission, Peter. You are cut off.
say hello to you. I hadn't spoke with you. I've been on the net for a while, and I had forgotten. Today was Wednesday, that night, and I...
Okay, Pete. Yeah, we thought you fell off the face of the earth. Haven't heard from you in a while. All right. Now they're getting back into the fall, and people will be ending their summer vacations. I'll probably get some more check-ins. And as it gets darker, signals will travel further in the shortwave and AM broadcast bands too, so we'll get more things to listen to. First, we got to get on the other side of this hurricane that's coming in this direction. So, as Bob said earlier, W2SQQ, we might get some interesting propagation as this storm is deciding to mess around off our shore. So it might be something interesting to listen on VHF to signals up and down the eastern seaboard. So I suggest tuning around to the VHF low band and the FM broadcast band in between our local stations to see if you can hear anything from further away. That would definitely give you a clue that some of the transmissions are being affected by the change in the surrounding environment. For those who are going to keep track of things as far as the hurricane is concerned, I suggest that you go to the National Weather Service website and look at the latest tracking forecast, or if you're already on the Skywarn or New York City Eric's mailing list, check your email. There were a couple of alerts that were sent out earlier this evening. They are still unsure how this system is going to affect our area, but there are watches and warnings being set up along the New Jersey shore and Long Island shoreline up into Boston. So this is something just bears watching because it can turn in either direction without any warning. So just keep your eyes and ears open. Make sure your location, as far as family, food, water, antennas, and such, are safe. And, you know, keep in touch with each other, especially on this repeater system. With that, we'll say 7-3 to everybody, and we'll catch you all next week. And Bob, like I said earlier, travel safe to Texas. Just stay away from the Mexican drug lords along that borderline.